Continue that good singing, praising the Lord. Hymn number 422. Hymn number 422 in our blue hymn books. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. 422. Let's all stand together as we sing this song in praise and worship to God.
Yeah.
What are you thankful for to God? What are you thankful to God for about the fact that He never changes? What is that? What comfort does that give to you this morning? He'll be first. Yes, James? Amen. Amen. Jimmy.
I'm glad because as we were going out of the parking lot of the hospital, they've been bringing a wheelchair out for that gentleman I talked about this morning.
Wonderful.
And hopefully he's getting the proper medical attention.
Okay, yes. The man fell on his face in the parking lot. Hit pretty hard. Yes, Eric?
I thank God for being here. And I thank God for everybody here.
Amen.
He does it all.
He does it all. That's sure. Sure. Yes, Nicole.
I'm glad because when he's buried, he never changes, and he's such a brother.
Amen. Amen. He doesn't change in his conditions. That he doesn't change the rules on us either. Yes, Patty. Amen. The calm in the midst of the storm. Amen. Amen. Yes, Jimmy? Amen. He was helping you come to Him for salvation through your dad and others, Christians, yes, and through my dad. All right. Amen. Yes, Jimmy.
I'm glad Patty that I missed her like crazy, and I'm sure everybody did help too.
Amen. Amen. That answers prayer. All right, let's let the others do it as well. What are you thankful for to God about the fact that He is unchanging, immutable? Amen. 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 Anyone else? All right, let us sing that third verse. Something to pray for this week is the equality, there's a bill called the Equality Act that's ill-named because if it passes, biblical morality would be essentially outlawed. So it's so bad for women that even radical feminists are now joining with Christian conservative women to fight it, basically saying that if any, the legislation would extend federal level protections of Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include sexual orientation and gender identity. And so this is very important that this does not pass. This Equality Act does far more than outlaw discrimination. In the way Title VII would be amended, anyone who dissents from the new sexual orthodoxy would be comparable to the racists whose oppression of African Americans made the Civil Rights Act of 1964 necessary. In the way the Equality Act would rewrite federal law, discrimination against LGBT people wouldn't only be anything that would impede access to public accommodations. It would be anything less than fully affirming their sense of self. So in other words, preaching the Bible and what God says about it would be something that would be not allowed. And so this is what is going through right now in the House of Representatives. So let us pray that it gets stopped in the Senate. That's not all. The Equality Act is not only bad for people of faith and anyone else who objects to the new sexual orthodoxy, it's bad for women. So bad, in fact, that feminists are now joining the conservative Christian women to fight it. Yes, you heard that right. Under this bill, Penny Nance of Concerned Women for America and Natasha Chart, Board Chair of Women's Liberation Front, men and boys who identify as women and girls will take away women's small business grants and hard-won spots on sports teams. They will be allowed to live in women's domestic violence shelters and use our locker rooms. And united as women, we are just not going to stand for it. That would literally become federal law, all the crazy things we see going on in some parts of the nation would be in all parts of the nation. So let us pray. That would be, you know, Kaylin's on the track team. Kaylin would then have to go against boys on the track team. You know, that's just what this, we have an unchanging God. This world is always changing. They're trying to enact new sinful practices. So let us pray that this does not pass as well. This quote-unquote Equality Act that's not equality at all, but it's a basically Sin in Your Face Act. We can call it that. Sin in Your Face Act, unashamed, brazen sin. The next thing would then come, pedophiles would then want these as well. So let us pray that this does not pass at all. Pastor Logan, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, our God, we thank you for the day you provided for each one of us. To watch over the last night, Father, so many steps.
Amen.
We will put some time this morning to mind to come out to the house of worship. We thank you for each one that has pushed their way out to come out to church this morning.
Amen.
We pray for each and every one to hear and know and then get the only way. We pray for all those that could not come out. Thank you, Father, Brother Roy, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 So I'll leave this up here if you want to get the information from it. And you can look up online, and that article will lead you to links so you can call your congressman or write letters, etc. Let us turn back to our hymn book, hymn number 815 in our hymn book as we praise the Lord this morning. Jesus in everything we're doing and blow the trumpet. Boy, that would be a shock, right? Everything we know that's happening this week is completely irrelevant because we're going to heaven. Okay, so that's the way we need to live. Let's have the men and boys sing that second verse.
Satan's dominion will then be yours. All that is what is
Bible for our scripture reading this morning. Turn to our Bible for our scripture reading as we to go to the next passage. Psalm 70, I believe we're at. Did anyone update that back there? Yes, when it is updated. Okay. When people start to claim sinful practices as civil rights, that's when you know we're getting to be coming to Sodom and Gomorrah, when they start claiming sinful practices as civil rights. I heard a commentator yesterday. He said, we all have different skin tones, melanin in our skin. No one can change. No one can help. What we do with our lives, the choices we make, that's what we definitely can help. And here we see sinful practices now become civil rights. No, not according to God's standard, not ever. Let's turn in our Bibles, Psalm 69, 10 through 18. let's see, did we read this last time? Okay. Psalm 69, 10 through 20, and I'm going to have Wellington read last week, so we'll have one of our other men, Evan, come on up. Psalm 69, 10 through 20.
When I weep, chasten my soul with fasting that was to my reproach.
I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them.
They that sin the gate speak against me. I was strong of the drunken.
But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation,
deliver me out of the miry, and let me not sink. Let me deliver from thee, and hate me, and out of the deep waters.
Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me.
Hear me, O Lord, for the loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies.
And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily.
Draw me not unto my soul, and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies.
Thou hast known my reproach, and my shame, and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters,
but I found none.
Amen. May the Lord bless to our hearts the reading of His Word. You may be seated. If you'll notice that verse that we just read, that was what Jesus felt on the cross. And what He went through, because the next verse it says, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. So here's some messianic psalm of Jesus on the cross. But when we're in trouble, this is a great psalm to read. When we're in trouble, we feel like the deep waters are flowing over us, and we feel like there's no one to help. That's when we have to look up to God. He is the one who can and will help and will bring us out of it. But we need to look fully to Him first in order for Him to fully get us out of it. This time, we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. Is there anyone that needs a bulletin? Raise your hand. We'll be happy to get one to you. Beautiful bulletin there, and a great verse for this week. But my God shall supply all your need. Sure enough, He has. We got an intern this summer for 2 weeks. And not only do we have an intern for VBT prep week and VBT week, but we also have a helper, a young man who's willing to come alongside and fill in where the intern cannot. and that is Darnell. Glad to have Darnell Brown coming on board here soon with the church. So let's give Darnell a big hand. Helping us with getting ready for summer ministries and the much work that it takes. And I can't do it all myself, and Wellington can't do it all, and the other men, so we definitely need help in the summer. So we're thankful for both Jonathan Sikma and his wife, Emma, and as well as Darnell. And their picture is there in the bulletin, so we look forward to meeting them. Then just by way of announcements, we want to welcome each one of you here with us. We're glad that you are here, glad that you are those visiting with us. We're glad for you to be here. It's good to have Miss Camille with us. Welcome back, Miss Camille, and from Brooklyn, New York, and a good friend of the Hodges, and they've known each other going all the way back to the islands, right? Amen. And we're thankful for her being here with us today. Then, just by way on the left-hand page, let us say our May memory verse, Hebrews 13:6. Let's say it reference, verse, and reference. Hebrews 13:6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews 13:6. So let's keep working on that for next week to say that, this verse. And it's a great verse to remember God is our helper. He's always there. That friends may forsake us, family may at times be too busy for us, but Jesus never is. On the right-hand page, come on back tonight. We're looking at helping to disciple others in Christ and looking at teaching, how to teach them, the seven laws of the teacher and the learner, some really neat principles from the Word of God tonight, so come on back. Then next Monday, not this Monday, but next Monday is Memorial Day weekend already. Can you believe that? Already coming on the summer. How many of you kids are chomping at the bit to get out of school? Okay. How many days? 24. They're on the countdown. You know it's close when they're on the countdown, right? 24 days. Yes. So I look forward to that. And so let us pray for them as they finish their tests, exams, finals, all those different things. Pray for our young people. Then, so next Monday, we'll have a church picnic here on the church grounds, come rain or shine. If it's raining, don't worry, we'll have it inside, and we'll do different things inside. And if it's outside, bring your favorite sports game, or if it's indoor, bring your favorite indoor game, and we'll have food, fun, fellowship. We'll remember our veterans. We also have grills available for cooking, and we also have a volleyball game that we can play in the afternoon, so come on out for good game of volleyball, and just to relax and enjoy each other's company. And if anyone would like to donate some fruit snack for a hunt for the kids, that would be great, or candy, either one. Then VBT volunteer first planning meeting is coming up Sunday, June 2nd after the AM service. So we look forward to getting ready for VBT as well as the other things of the summer. Thank you for those that volunteered on the back page for the Good News Club. We had much participation from many in our church, adults as well as kids, so we're thankful to each one of them. Then Harold Seitler, Baptist preacher who's gone home to be with the Lord, he said, "Modernists and false religions have perverted the word as to remove the fact of hell." And even the new versions, they change hell many times to Sheol, or they change hell to Hades, or they change hell to some other word. Well, guess what? That's just, they're trying to whittle away. The devil's trying to whittle away at the doctrine of hell. That's why we don't use the NIV, ESV, etc. They try to, we'll make hell less, who knows? You ask the average person on the street, what is Hades or Sheol? They say, huh? What? I have no idea. Well, what is hell? Oh, hell? We know. Oh, that's a place of fire. It's a terrible place. That's what the new versions are doing, taking away the doctrine of hell from the Bible. That's why we don't use it. Well, here, Many sinners scoff at the preaching of hell. They turn aside any warning of judgment. They think the idea of hell has passed away with the last generation. 60 seconds after death, they shall find out the truth of the word. There is fire in hell. We need to pray. We need to love. We need to have compassion. At this time, we'll have Jonathan, if you can show the presentation for us. We were talked about in Sunday school that we are all missionaries in Atlanta County, New Jersey. And our mission field is all around us. And the missionaries we are supporting, that 10 cents of every dollar that goes in the offering plate goes to our foreign missionaries. Well, what is our job here? So turn up the volume and you can go ahead and play that.
When I look into the faces of people everywhere, help me see lost souls in danger and headed to despair. Help me see the flames approaching, all around their sleeping day. Those who die without a Savior are lost to hellfire's blaze. Help me win the lost and see them in their need. Help me win the lost. Salvation God to plead. Help me.
Amen. So the call is there for us to respond to. What will you do to help someone escape out of hell and run into the loving arms of Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross of Calvary for them and His death, burial, and resurrection for their sins? What will you do to help someone? We are missionaries here in Atlantic County, New Jersey. Let us be involved in the harvest field and let us get out there and do our job as Christians. Just by way of other announcements, so pray for these BBT as well as this Tuesday. Come on out, 10 a.m. for soul winning as we go knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. You say, well, I can't. I work Tuesday morning. We'll come out Thursday night. Help us disciple some of our ones that we led to the Lord. We need help discipling. We have men and ladies and children and teens that need you to visit their home and disciple them. And teach them the Word of God. But they won't come into our church until we go to them first and just start discipling them. So please come on out Thursday night, or if you can't come to the church Thursday night, call me so I can give you a person, or talk to me after service, and I will give you a person to go to, and that way you have a contact to set up an appointment with and disciple them in the Lord. So that's our job. As believers, the great commission of Jesus Christ to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. This time we'll have our ushers come as we give to the Lord. Are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Raise your hand. We'll be happy to take that. Any other announcements? Pray for Ethan and Shay as they prepare to get married on June 29th in Illinois, Shannon Baptist Church in Shannon, Illinois. I'll be going out there for that, and so pray for them as they get ready for that. And if you want to listen to some good sermons during the week, go on to ambassadors.edu and you can hear some great messages by Baptist preachers, evangelists, and missionaries that will encourage you. This time, let us bow together in prayer as we give to God of our tithes and offerings to Him. Let us pray. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Let us sing one more song in our red hymn book, number 80, in our red hymn book, the red one there. Number 80, the heavens declare the glory of God, number 80. Let's all stand together as we sing this song before our special music.
Listen to the waves of the
Bible to Smith, our young people, for youth church to go for their special time. And the rest of us, let's turn to our Bibles this morning to Proverbs. We're starting a new sermon series on Proverbs. The very interesting, the book of Proverbs. One little verse can provide such wisdom that it can change your life. And it can change the direction of your life. One verse of Proverbs is so powerful that it can change the very direction of your life. That God wants us to know how to live here on this earth. You know, He wants us not just to know Him as Savior and come to Him for salvation, but He also wants us then to live wisely in a way that will bring us joy and not heartache. And so here, Proverbs gives us the prescriptions. Each verse is like a prescription. There's a doctor who is Jesus Christ Himself, that He is the preacher. It says the words of the wise are as goads that fastened by the nail, fastened by one shepherd. That here Jesus is the wise author of Proverbs. He is wisdom Himself, and He is fastening. If we will listen, He wants to fasten to us the wise words that carry us through life. But we have a choice to make, whether we will heed the wisdom of Proverbs and of the Bible. Proverbs is like the Bible in a nutshell. Whether we'll heed the Proverbs and heed the Word of God, or whether we will do it our own way and say, what does Jesus know? He lived 2,000 years ago. What does God know? He only made me and made the universe and made all the laws of it. But what does He know about society today and how I should live today? Oh, you know what? He is right here. He's watching everything. Judgment is coming upon this world, and He wants you to escape judgment. He wants you to flee from the wrath to come. You did that in salvation. Now He wants you to flee from judgment that sinners are getting every day. Every day, you know, sinners are getting judgment. And so He wants you to be a wise person, whether you're a young person, a youth, teenager, or an adult, that God has words for you. Jesus has wise words for us to listen to. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time this morning to come before You, to worship You in church this morning. We thank You that You have told us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That, Lord, we know that Your church is still Your formula for success, that it's Your program for today, the local church being sent out of our local church to go to a lost and dying world each and every week, that this is the prescription that this world desperately needs. Lord, help us to learn to love You this morning, to give You our whole hearts, that if there be any wicked way in us, that You would point it out to us, that we may see it, and that we may run from the sin that we're doing and confess it, forsake it, and put it at Your feet, Lord, and humble ourselves and walk in the wise way that will bring us wonderful joy, that is walking with You. Lord, we pray You'd bless us this morning. I pray for anyone going through trials and tribulations, that You'd comfort them this morning. Anyone going through hurts and difficulties, that You'd show them how You are the healing balm of Gilead that they need this morning. We pray You just speak to all of our needs through Your Word. Fill me with Thy Spirit. Fill each one of us with Your Spirit, that we would desire to be hearers and doers of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 1 and verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." We want to welcome all those who are viewing with us on the internet this morning. We're glad that you have taken time to watch this service, and we pray that you will be blessed from the Word of God. Verse 2, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Here we see that proverbs are not easy to understand. It causes us to think about them, right? It's not just like, the chicken ran across the road, or a nice little fluffy story that doesn't really mean anything. No, the proverbs are weighty sayings. They're heavy. They have deep content. And they have dark sayings, as in not as in dark as in bad, but dark as in deep. Very, very weighty and very knowledgeable. It's dark to us because we don't understand it all. If we think about this, what does it mean, this proverb about flattery and deceit and gangs, and what does this one mean about intoxicating substances, and what's that one mean over there about this? And so it causes us to think about it. We have to reveal, it's not light to us yet until we put the light of God's Word, and then also we have to ask for what? Not enough to just read a proverb and then you'll understand it all. Who needs to help us? Who needs to illuminate us? The Holy Spirit. You cannot understand this book by yourself. I've been to Bible college. I've been to seminary. I cannot understand this book by myself. Even with 6 years under my belt of Bible training, I cannot just grab at a proverb or grab at a verse in the Scriptures and just say, oh, I can do this on my own. I got this one. No, if we do that, guess what? We're not going to understand it. And we may think we understand it, but we're not going to get the meaning that God wants us to get. We're not going to get the full application of it in our lives. So we realize we not only need to read it, but we need to ask and pray for illumination from the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who wrote this book, as all 40 authors were carried and moved by the Holy Ghost. And so he's the only one who can illuminate what it means. And so that's what it's talking about with their dark sayings. We need to shine the light of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit's illumination of it. It's dark if we do it by ourselves. If we try to live in the flesh and live away from God and say, oh, I'm going to read the Scriptures this morning. Guess what? Have fun. You might understand, you'll understand some of it, and you'll get some of it, but you're not going to get the full meaning that God wants you to get. You're not going to get the full application to your life that God wants you to get if we walk and try to look into the Word of God, staying in our sin. That's why we need to continually confess our sin. For He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad that God loves us and He's merciful? That even though He shouldn't, He still does. Every time He still forgives us as we confess our sin. You know, He should have said, oh, that's the 100th time you just did that sin. No, not forgiving you anymore. You know, no, He doesn't do that. He continually takes us back and takes us back. But He does want us to learn from our past sinful choices and want to change and want to run. And that's why Proverbs is here, to give us wisdom to run. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Verse 10, let's read verses 10 through 20 together. I'll read verse 10, you read verse 11, we'll read it responsibly. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely they reign and never spread in the sight of any And they that lay wait for their own blood, they lurk privily for their own lives.
So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which takes away the pleasure of singleness thereof.
Okay, so here we have some important wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Okay, here's some basic principles for everyday life. Should we get involved in a gang? Should we get involved with a friend who wants something that somebody else has and says, hey, come with me, be my accomplice. We're going to take that from them. Not a smart idea. He that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof, that literally, watch out, it's just like trying to lay a snare for a bird. You know, before the invention of guns and bows and arrows and all that, well, they had bows and arrows back then too, but they would catch birds pretty easily. You know, they had, back in Bible times, they were very, very smart. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, they were very smart. How would they catch birds? They'd put a nice little net, they'd weave a net, put that on the ground, and then they would put whatever the birds like, bird seed, and they'd put it on a nice plate, and they would have it, and then they would just wait. And they knew those birds would come around. They'd wait, and sure enough, as soon as the birds come around, they'd get, you know, 3 or 10 sparrows all at once. Well, they'd wait till there, then just pull that string, boom. They're all in there. How many have ever watched that? Watch somebody catch birds? Is it pretty fascinating? Okay, it's fascinating to watch. Or they pry the trap open, and then they just basically can do it itself. Okay. However, and so that's just like a person who's trying to go and steal stuff from somebody else because they want their TV, or they want their sneakers, or they want their watch, or they want this, or they want that. So whatever is pricey and valuable, they say, oh, it's never going to come back to haunt me. I'm just going to grab it. And they take it. They go into the house. They try to rob the house. Well, the problem is you never know who's really there in the house and who's not. Whether the dog's there, whether a person's there, whether someone's there that's armed and ready for you. And we hear stories of robbers every day getting caught, and some losing their lives because they did not know who was inside and with what. Was it smart for them? Did they make the right decision? Did they calculate right? They wanted those possessions. They were willing to get them with whatever they had to do, even to the point of killing the people in the house to get those possessions. But it didn't work out for them in the end, because now they're dead, and now they have to face God. And so we see that Proverbs are very much in our time frame here today. They are very modern, very current, very up with the times. The Bible reads more current than today's newspaper. The Bible reads even more current than the headlines that you just read on the internet. The Bible reads more current than all those things. Why? Because the Bible gets to the human heart. And God knows exactly who we are and what we're made of. Okay, so next time someone says, hey, let's go steal something, say, wait a second, I read about that in the Proverbs, not a good idea. Even if we get away with it, our consciences are going to burn the whole rest of our life. Do I really want that? No. So here, verse 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Here we see we all need wisdom in life. We all need it. And right about the time you say, I don't need wisdom anymore, I already know this stuff. Well, that's when you're going to forget it, and you're going to need it again. And so we are never too old, too young, too knowledgeable, or unknowledgeable, not knowledgeable enough for God's wisdom. We need it. Why? Because we can turn into one of four people in life. Here's the four people of the Proverbs, and it talks about that in verse 22. And we can change into any one in a matter of minutes. Okay? The first person is the simple. Simple is the person who doesn't know much, not knowledgeable. They are resting on their laurels. They are basically, don't teach me, I already know. They're simple, okay? But they don't know, but they're living simple in simplicity, literally without wisdom. Without wisdom. Then this next person is the scorner. The scorner thinks they know a lot, thinks they have a lot of knowledge, and they will make fun of wise people. They will actually make fun of wise people. They will make fun of the Christian who's walking wisely. Why? Because they think their scorning way, their sinful way, is better. Well, let's see how that turns out. And then fools. The third person in the proverb is the fool. And he is the one who persists in sin. Then there's the fourth person, and that is, of course, the wise learner. They listen to God. So we can be any one of these four people at any given time in our life. And here's where we need to realize, okay, let's follow the line of the wise learner. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. This is where we should all want to be in our Christian life, is to be the wise learner. The one who says, Lord, help me. I'm in over my head. Life is too much for me. There's too many people coming at me, too many facts, too much news, too many things in life. I cannot handle it all by myself. I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. I need to fear you first, because that's when life will all make sense. I can't handle all the relationships and all the problems and all the trials. I need you. That's the wise learner. The wise learner knows he needs to go to God every day for reproof. What? Is somebody telling me what to do and telling me not to do that and do this instead? That goes against my grain. Don't you know, Pastor, that I have some pride? Well, you know what? That's part of our problem. Is in the human life, if pride is not something to be held up. You know, pride is a sin. God says He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If we have too much pride to listen to God, then we just have pride, and it's sin. Then we think we are the most knowledgeable person on every subject. We are the ones who need to teach everyone else. But guess what we've just turned into? We've gone from being the wise learner to the scorner, or to the simple, or to the fool. How dangerous are all three of those. And so here, I was just talking with a young preacher, coming out of Bible college, and he says, why do we always do these things as independent Baptists? You know what? We should start changing. We should start changing. We need to go, get more modern, get with the times, and all these things. Who is the most modern and with the times and knowledgeable and wise as to how to manage everything in life than God? Who is wiser than God? No one. So do we need to become like the world? Basically what this young preacher is saying, hey, get me out under the shackles of the Word of God. I want to do my own thing now. And he wants to plant a church and do his own church like the way he wants to do it. Take a little bit over here of the simple practice of the world, bring that into the church. Take some over here, bring that into the church. Hey, and we'll get a little bit of everything, and I'll start my own church with my own principles. And that may attract a crowd. But you know what? Is it right? Is it being the wise learner? No, it is actually being the scorner. You're actually turning what is wise, what has been working for generation upon generation, the principles of the Word of God, and put in the proper framework of the preaching of the Word. God has not changed His method. God says in 1 Corinthians 1:21 that the preaching of the Word is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. That the preaching of the Word is wise and it's the power of God, and that's what we need in today's day. We don't need more entertainment. We don't need some Christian rock songs that give some nice little platitudes but are very mellow and not scriptural mixed with the music of the world. We don't need that for 45 minutes of the service and then a little 15-minute message on the end. That's what will happen that to those Christians. They will turn into weak, simple Christians. They will turn into fleshly, carnal, simple Christians. We need the preaching of the Word of God. We need the application of it. We need the wisdom of it. And we need to heed it in order to stay afloat in this world that is constantly changing. We need the wisdom of the one who does not change, and that is God Himself. And so if we will turn at His reproofs, that He will pour out His Spirit unto us, and He will make known My words unto you. That literally, He will open up the Bible for us. It will illuminate right under our eyes, that we will start reading. We'll say, whoa, I didn't see that one before. Whoa, this is amazing. Whoa, I'm excited about this truth. I want to teach this. That's what will happen if we will literally turn at God's reproofs and listen and apply it to our life. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out My hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all My counsel and would none of My reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon Me, but I will not answer. They shall seek Me early, but they shall not find Me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of My counsel. They despised all My reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto Me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So here, what does the simple need to do? They need to turn away from their own, turn away from evil. The fool needs to do what? Okay, the fool, the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The fool, his prosperity shall destroy him. He says, oh, I'm fine, I'm by myself, I don't need God in my life. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I don't need God. Well, one day, their prosperity is going to kill them. They're going to die in their sins with all their riches. They're going to leave it to somebody else, and they're going to die in their sins and go to hell. The scorner is going to be destroyed because of his scorning. He will make mockery of God, mock at God. And it will destroy him. And so we see the first three people do not end well. But the fourth one ends very well. My son, chapter 2, verse 1, if thou wilt receive My words and hide My commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the wisdom of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Literally a shield. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So here we see that
that God says that reproofs are the way of life. That God wants us to be reproved every day. We need to be reproved every day. There's going to be some errant thought that we have, some errant way that we are going to go in, left to ourselves during the day. That's why we need to be reproved every day. If we don't take reproof, then we aren't going to listen to God. We need to take reproof, and we need to say, hey, the reproofs are the way of life. That's the way that I get, that I change every day to be more like Christ. God wants us to change every day to be more like Christ. Not stay the same. Not say, oh, I've got enough now. I've done this much in life and I know everything now. Yeah. No, but every day we've got to run to the Word of God. And so, so literally, Jesus is calling us every day. He is wisdom. He is wisdom. He is calling us every day, come, and I'll give you what you need. If you don't come, you're going to be on your own. But you're going to turn into one of these three. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Okay, let's look at the ants. Chapter 6, verse 6. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, Proverbs 6, verse 8, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, we say. A little folding of the hands. Oh, I'm just going to rest a little while today. I'm just going to take this day off. And then the next day, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Here we see, now let's put some application. We need to have a testing mindset in the Christian life. We talked about it with the men and the young men and the boys on Wednesday night. We need to have a testing mindset in the Christian life. That God, as we look in the Scriptures, He says we need to be reproved daily, and so we've got to test everything by the Word of God. We need to have a testing mindset in life. Why? Because there are many false teachers going out among you, Jesus said. There are many wolves that come in to destroy the flock. And so, don't just listen to every donkey that brays a scripture verse. Okay? Or every wolf that barks out a scripture verse. They may claim to know the scriptures, but if they're teaching you something that's going away from the scriptures, they are a wolf in sheep's clothing. And so we've got to have a testing mindset in the Christian life. Sadly, too many Christians... which is why modern-day Christianity is where it is today. Too many Christians just accept whatever the guy that's standing up on the platform says, you know, without saying, hey, show me the chapter and verse. Oh, no, no, you don't need this Bible anymore. Let me show you a new Bible. It's much more modern, much more easy to understand. You don't have to work as hard at understanding. You don't, basically, the illumination of the Holy Spirit, that's yesterday's news. You don't need the illumination of the Holy Spirit with this good news for modern man. It's in everyday language. Wait a second. It takes work to understand the Bible. We need the illumination of the Holy Spirit. When you start putting the Bible in phraseology that's dumbed down, that is not representing the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic and God's holy words that He's passed down to us, then that's when you're tampered with the Word of God and change the message. So these Bible translators and Bible editors are actually changing the message of the Word of God to fit their own paradigm. And so that's why we need to have a testing mindset in the Christian life. We cannot just come and listen to every Christian that gets up on TV or gets on radio. Oh yeah, listen to me. I've got some great things. No, we need to say, hey, show me a chapter and verse. And then show me some context for that chapter and verse. You know, so you can really say anything you want if you just pull a verse out of context. As one preacher said, my dad would say this when I was growing up, I remember him saying this. He said, one preacher showed how you can just twist the context of any verse. He says, Judas went out and hanged himself, and you know, Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. What just happened there? A pastor quoted two separate verses in the Scriptures, completely removed in context one from the other, but just put them back to back. And so immediately now this guy can teach anything he wants on that.
Well, so that's what we need to have. We need to have a testing mindset. Wait, show me the chapter and verse of what you're saying. And number two, show me the context. I want to see what the whole passage is talking about, not just what you want it to say. As we saw this morning, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That means I can win every sports game for the Lord, you know. No, that means whether we're abased or whether we abound with money and possessions, whether we're going through trials and difficulties and don't have two nickels to rub together, as Paul had many times in prison, he says, "I, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And so as we give to God, God gives back to us and with contentment. He gives us contentment. He gives us the blessing and the strength to go through every trial and difficulty of our financial life, knowing that He will see us through because we're giving our first gift to Him, our tithe. And so we see that's what the context is. And here in the book of Proverbs, we need to have a testing mindset. We need to not just trust any Christian. That's how so many Christians go off track and leave churches. And or if they go to a new church, they don't ask enough questions. Oh, I like everyone was nice to me. Well, is that the only parameter for picking a church? Everyone was nice. Well, the pastor was preaching something up there that sounded good, so it must be a good church. No, let's test it out. What are the measures of a New Testament church? Well, we just looked at that a few weeks ago. Do they preach the Word of God as the only source of faith and practice? Do they baptize by immersion? Do they have pastors and deacons? Do they still hold to the preserved Word of God, still in the English language, that's not tampered with and torn apart and doctrines taken out of it? Do they still use the King James? Do they still have conservative music, not the worldly music? Do they still have a respect for God and dress up to come to church? Or do they have a dress down effect? You know, that's when you can tell a church is going away from the Word of God, going out the door doctrinally, going into the apostasy of this current one world church movement. Where are all the churches going? Well, number one, they're going back to Rome, the ones they broke away from many years ago. By the way, Baptists never were part of Rome. But the Protestants are all going right back to Rome, right back to the Pope, right back to the priest, right back to the clergy, right back to the pagan practices of the Catholic Church. Number two, they're all going to a casual, dress-down appearance. Why? What is the premise behind that? Well, we want people to be comfortable, and we want them to just come as they are, and you know, leave as they are, and we want them just to not have anything coming in their way to come to church. But wait, is that scriptural? Is that scriptural? Well, let's look at the Word of God. How did the Israelites come to worship? It says they washed their robes on Friday. They washed their robes clean and pure and wore them brand new clean on Saturday. They brought their very best to God. They brought of their tithes and their offerings. They brought the best lambs, the best sheep, the ones that were not blemished, the ones that were spotless. They brought their very best to God. And then in the New Testament, the same thing. They brought their very best to God. They worshipped on the first day of the week to give God preeminence because Jesus died on the cross and he rose again on the first day of the week. And so they brought their very best to God in their tithes, in their offerings, in their worship. So where does this casual dress down worship go? It doesn't bring our best to God. It treats God as if He's just one of the boys. Well, the Lord, He's just one of us, and He understands, you know. And so let's all just do what we want. No, that's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve is what? Holy, holy, holy. That the angels, as they saw Jesus there, as John saw Jesus at Patmos, let's turn over there, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And verse 12, here's John. He says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Verse 10, here's John coming to church.
John
you don't have to be in church. Don't you know you are the only one that would come to church? John, just sleep in. It's Sunday morning. Come on, John. It's fun day. Don't you know Sunday fun day? No, John, even though John was the only one that was going to be in church, he's the only one in the Isle of Patmos, the only one that would worship the Lord that Sunday. Guess what? Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, Revelation 1, verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, these seven churches. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Should we tamper with the two-edged sword? Should we tamper with Jesus' words? And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Here John shows up in church, and he sees Jesus high and lifted up, and he just about dies. Okay, is Jesus just one of our buddies? No. If Jesus showed up in our church today, we'd all fall over as dead. We'd have the same response. So is Jesus to be less than worshipped with our very best? Does he deserve less? Does he deserve a casual mindset? A casual type of anything goes type of service? No, he deserves our very best. And he says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So here Jesus says to us, hey, you matter to me. And my churches that are still doing it my way, according to my words, the sharp two-edged sword that comes out of my mouth, guess what? I've got you, and I'm holding you. And I'm going to carry you through the trials and difficulties of the 21st century. And I'm going to take you, and one day when you die, I'm going to carry you into life forevermore with me. Be faithful. Be faithful unto death. As he challenged the churches, he said, oh, be an overcomer. Don't be a part of the crowd. Be an overcomer. An overcomer doesn't fit in with the crowd. An overcomer has a testing mindset. Wait a second. Just because everyone else is doing it, is it right? Let me see what the Scripture says. Be an overcomer. Don't keep your robes washed in white, as it said to that church. Be an overcomer. Don't fall prey to what other Christians are doing. They may be saved, they may not be, but the ones who are leading the saved ones are apostates. They're not truly saved. The ones leading this whole modern church dumbed down charge, they're not saved. They are as lost as can be, and they're leading Christians down that road. They are false teachers, leading unsuspecting Christians who don't have a testing mindset, who are not coming to the Scriptures with reverence and saying, Lord, what is it you want me to do? I'm going to stay close to you. And they're being duped by the devil. So let's not be part of that. Let's be a part of a New Testament church that's still doing it God's way. And we will be blessed. We will be the wise learner. Each day, you'll come out with new nuggets of truth. Each day, you'll come out with love for God and love for your fellow man and hatred for sin. No, I hate sin. I love God. I love God too much to do that. And we will hate sin, and we will have revival in our life. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close this service this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, you know, I don't know 100% for sure If I were to die today, I don't know if I'm a child of God. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I've ever had asked the Lord to forgive me of all my sins and for Jesus to who died on the cross for me and shed His blood and rose again. I don't know if I've ever asked Him to come into my heart and save me. But I'd like to do that today. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven today. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. As a Christian, you say, Pastor, I'm already saved. I already know the Lord as my Savior, but I need that testing mindset. I need to be a wise learner. I don't want to be a simple person, a scorner, or a fool. I want to be a wise learner that is coming to Jesus every day. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Quickly, quietly, amen, amen, amen. I see those hands. Pastor, pray for me. I want to be a wise learner. I want to do what God says for me to do. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time this morning to come to Your house, to be reminded of these great truths. We thank You that John, the apostle of love, came to church that Sunday so that You could give him the prophecy of the book of Revelation that would stir our hearts, that would continue to help feed us for our whole life. Lord, we thank You that he didn't miss church and that he didn't fall prey to the I'm the only one here, so why does it matter mentality. Lord, help us to always have that faithful mentality, the testing mindset to say, Lord, what do You want me to do? Help us, Lord, to be dedicated to You. Lord, I pray that as we go into the summer ministries, Lord, that You would help take us to lost souls. That we know we rub shoulders with them every day. Lord, help us to witness to them. Help us to speak up, to speak out, and to warn them of the judgment to come and tell them how Jesus loved them and died for their sins. Lord, help us to be Your missionaries this summer. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn in our hymn book as we close the service. Hymn number 559. 559. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. Let Jesus come into your heart. Would you come if you want? If the Lord's spoken to you about anything, if you want counsel, if you want to get saved, baptized, join the church, come taken by the hand, or if you want counsel from the Scriptures, or if you want to just come and kneel at the altar, would you come as we sing this song? If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject Him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. Second verse, would you come as we sing? If 'tis for purity now that you sigh, let Jesus come into your heart. Fountains for cleansing are flowing nearby, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now your doubtings give o'er, just now reject Him no more. Pianist play through that next two verses and let us pray to God. If there's anything we need to confess to Him, would we confess it even now? God, and please forgive me, I have sinned. And just tell him exactly what you've done. And the Lord will forgive us. You have to pray this prayer regularly and often, every day. Back tonight, 7 o'clock, for our evening service. We look at the law of the learner and the teacher as we learn from the Word of God and how to help others even better than we already are. And to invite you back tonight, 7 o'clock. And at this time, let us close in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Bob, would you please close us?
Father God, Lord, we thank you for your word from the Scripture on the pursuit of living wise life for you, as we would seek your kingdom for it here. We just ask, Lord, that you would help us understand that you have given us the starting point, and that starting point is a very cogent one, which simply is to say, the fear of the Lord, not a fear of terrorism or injury or terrible trauma or anything like that. No, not that. But one of the ultimate for one who is and has done everything, and who is the reason for our seeking to live in a life that would be full of wisdom. As Solomon asked for the gift of wisdom, you gave it very happily, because really to be glorified in practice. You would give us the need to come before you and to stay in your scripture and to listen to your whatever it is you would have for us, that you would continue to guide and direct us as we would seek to live wisely for you. And we just ask, Lord, that you would stay with us every step of the way, not just us, but this ministry. Likewise, because we know that we're attempting to move this work forward in the ultimate wisdom for you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to be present with our leadership here, and that you would allow your decisions to be made in your time, that we might be able to glorify and honor you. And we just ask these things this morning in Christ's name. Amen.